Matthew chapter number 7 this morning. I'm going to ask, if you will, to stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. If you're not able to stand, that's fine. Just keep your seat. We got that out of the book of Nehemiah chapter number 8, where Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood, and the people stood up to hear the Word of God. Chapter 7, verse 13, the Bible said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there be that go in, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Behold, inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Saddest words I ever read in the Bible. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. They beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Amen. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people, Brother David, you spoke about doctrine in the Sunday school class. When Jesus got finished, they were astonished at his doctrine. Amen. They were taken back by the teaching of the Word of God and the Son of God. And then in verse 29, this is why. "For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." When Jesus spoke, I'm telling you, beloved, the words were weighty.
Amen.
You can be seated. Please pray for us. Pray with us a moment. Father, thank you this morning for the place that you've brought us to in our Christian life. Thank you for the burden that you've placed upon our heart. Thank you for the Bible, our Father, that we have in front of us. Thank you for the brethren that are gathered together today in the house of God. God, I pray today that some way you'd be able to convey to the people what you've conveyed to my heart this week. Lord, it's very unusual for me to know on Tuesday or Wednesday what I'd be preaching on Sunday. Lord, I've been chewing on this all week, 4 or 5 days now. God, I pray that you'd help us to be a help. God, we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I don't know where my handkerchief went. That's bad. Here it is. It's like the guy that was looking for his sunglasses and somebody said they're on top of your head. Amen. I want to preach this morning for a little while on this subject. Three ways with only two destinations. Three ways with only two destinations. I have a Scofield Bible, and above verse 13 and 14, Scofield has a caption that says, "The Two Ways." And all of my life, I've really thought that that's really all there is two ways. But if you'll stay with me this morning, I believe you'll agree with me. There's three ways with only two destinations. And I, even as God birthed this in my heart, I didn't realize how it was being taught in the text, how that Jesus was magnifying this truth. You say, "Pastor, what are the three ways?" I want to magnify them this morning. I'll just give them to you, and then we'll come back and magnify them. See if you don't agree with me. There's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. That's in the broad way. There's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. Let me just start preaching right here on the first thing. We'll give them to you as we come to them. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, don't you think it seems wrong for someone to murder somebody else? Don't you think it seems wrong for somebody to rob or steal from somebody else? Don't you think it seems wrong when people commit sins that the Word of God said is against nature? Don't you think it seems wrong for a woman to have a baby and then turn her back on that baby and abuse that baby? Don't you think it seems wrong for a man to abuse his wife, or for a wife to abuse her husband, or for a mom and a dad to abuse their children? You say, "Pastor, how's your mind working?" I'm telling you, there's some things in this world, beloved, before I was ever saved, they seemed wrong, and they are wrong. To me, before I was saved, it seemed wrong to use God's name in vain. Let me tell you something, it is wrong to use God's name in vain. It seemed wrong even before I saved, youngins. It seemed wrong to be on the lake on Sunday morning. Even before I saved, it seemed wrong, and it is wrong. Amen. It seemed wrong to be washing my truck. Honey, I didn't wash my truck. I worshiped my truck. Anybody that raised the hood and washed the motor every time he washes the truck has got a problem. Say amen. I mean, I wanted that thing shining under the hood just like it was shining on top of the hood. Oh, it was a really, really nice truck. It was a Chevrolet. It will never go to heaven because the Bible said the rust will not enter in. Amen. I'm telling you, it didn't matter how good I took care of it. No electric windows, no electric locks, no radio. 3-speed on the column, a 6-cylinder motor. You pushed on the gas and the motor hollered back and said, "What'd you say?"
Amen.
But I knew when I was doing those things on Sunday morning, even as a lost person, it just seemed wrong. Is anybody with me?
Amen.
And guess what? It was wrong. It seems wrong for a woman to choose to lie down with a man and then make another choice to destroy the outcome of that relationship. To destroy that baby. Even the governor, the former governor, I need to get that right, in Virginia, got on a radio, had the gall to say, "Let's lay the baby over here. We'll discuss with the mama what we're going to do. We'll lay the baby over here on the counter." Oh, God, that seems wrong. And it is wrong. I'm telling you, beloved, there is a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. It's the broad way. We think about drunkenness. Would you say that it seems wrong for a man to steal that he might buy something to drink? What if he stole from his wife to buy something to drink? You say, "Pastor, that's never happened. Surely that's never happened."
surely you're looking at a man that appreciates the grace of God. Because there's things in this world, they seem wrong. And they are wrong. They're as wrong can be. I believe many in this way would call this the way of the world. I believe many in this way, their conscience is seared. Not all, but many. Beloved, I'm telling you, there's people today that would kill you for one fix. They'd kill you for a $5 bill. There's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. The second way that I want to talk to you about this morning, I told you I would talk to you about three ways, but there's only two destinations. This is a way that seems right, but it is wrong. See, there's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. But the Word of God said twice in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, two times God said this in the book of Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. This is really where my burden is this morning. How many people in this world are in a way that seems right, but it is wrong? Was mentioned in Sunday school this morning about the Muslims and the Hindus and the Catholics and many others. See, Jesus even mentions false prophets. He said, Pastor, how do you know a false prophet? I'll tell you how. He's teaching something other than the Word of God. And beloved, listen to me. Listen to me carefully right here. Don't have to be a Muslim. Don't have to be a Hindu. Don't have to be something way out there left field, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. Beloved, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in this world standing in pulpits like this, teaching doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. They're teaching things like, well, if you'll just love God and send me while you're doing it, your money. Sow that seed. While they've got three airplanes, amen, and two strips to land them on, and a house here and a house here. I'm telling you, I'd be afraid to stand before God while the world's dying going to hell without God. They're building something else of this world. The Word of God said this, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's a way that seems right. Oh, you say, Pastor, what do you mean it seems right? Well, them folk go to church. Them folk carry a Bible. Somebody help me. Some of them even carrying the right Bible. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It is entirely possible. Listen to me carefully right here. This won't trip you up if you know what I'm talking about and you know the Lord Jesus. It won't trip you up. There are people in this world that know the Word of God but do not know the God of the Word. There's only one way to know the God of the Word, and that's through Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, through a new birth. You say, Pastor, a way that seems right. I talked about in that first way, the many, their conscience is seared. You say, Pastor, why would people want to be in a way that seems right, but it's wrong? Because there, their conscience is soothed. Makes them feel better. I go to church. I'm not throwing stones this morning. Listen to me. For many, I go to church every time the doors is open. You can go to church every time the doors is open and go to hell when you leave this world. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say something like that. That's why God calls men to preach the truth. These people right here, beloved, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many are going to say in me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many marvelous works.
I believe when they was having revival, these people went. And yet it's a way that seems right, but it is wrong. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because Jesus said here, He's going to say to them that day, depart from me. You say, Pastor, what did they do? I'll tell you what they did. They came to church, but they didn't come to Christ. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said, He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. It's a serious thing this morning. There's a way that is wrong. It seems wrong and it is wrong. There's a way that seems right and it is wrong. This way that seems right and it is wrong, really, this way is about self. This way is about pride. You'd be surprised how many men and how many women are sitting in the house of God this morning all over America because it's good for their business or it's good for some votes. It makes them look good in the eyes of man. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're more concerned about what a man thinks or what a woman thinks than what God thinks, you're in trouble! There's coming a day. We're not going to answer to a man. We're going to answer to God. Every once in a while, they say the Supreme Court. I tell you what, the Supreme Court better never forget. They're going to meet the Supreme Judge. You say, Pastor, you think they'll be held accountable for those votes? I know they will. The way that seems right. We're living in a society today where this is no longer the guide. Tell you what the guide is. The guide is what I have by my name. If I have a D by my name, that guides me one way. If I have an R by my name, that guides me another way. Somebody home? Am I right or am I wrong? You watch them, beloved. Listen, they jump on. As soon as they find out what's going on, jump on it. Don't matter whether it lines up with the book or not. Just matters if I line up with my party. There was a day in America when it wasn't about party. It was about people. What's good for the people that I represent? There's a way that seems right and it is wrong. I promise you this. Had you been in the Jewish community and had you known a man by the name of Nicodemus, you would have said he's one of the finest among us. And yet he got around this great teacher. He said, we told Jesus, you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus began to see some things. Brother Preston, he began to hear some things. Something began to happen in his heart. You know what he realized? My religion's not enough. You know what he realized? That fella's got something I don't know anything about. That fella can forgive an adulterer. That fella can eat with sinners. That fella's got a burden that I don't know anything about. The way that seems right, it's all about self. Judas was in a way that seemed right. Now, you know Nicodemus, thank God we believe, I believe, that Nicodemus was, after that conversation sometime, saved. I don't know why he'd be interested in the body of Jesus if he wasn't. Say amen. In helping with his burial. But we know there's another one. His name was Judas. He saw the same miracles. He heard the same teaching.
He was closer to Jesus than Nicodemus ever could have been close to Jesus. He walked with him. He ate with him. He was on the boat with him. And he sold him out. You want to know why? Because he was in a way that seemed right, but it was wrong. You say, Pastor, that really wasn't revealed until the end of Judas's life. Can I say something in humility this morning? There's a lot that's not going to be revealed until the end of our lives. There's three ways, but there's only two destinations. There's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. There's a way that seems right, and it is wrong. These people have a profession. But I want to remind you something. Profession without possession leads to destruction. Think about this. What we would call good folk, good church-going folk, folk that don't steal from people, folks that don't drink and get drunk, folks that are married, they're not shacking up, they're married. Folks that have a respect for the church, a respect for the pastor, you listen to me. Amen. These two ways have the same destination. You say, Pastor, why is your heart broken this morning? I'll tell you why. To think about somebody from this congregation standing right there alongside of that rapist. Standing right there alongside of that murderer. Standing right there alongside of that bank robber. Standing right there alongside, beloved, of that false prophet that's led people astray. I'm telling you, in the end, beloved, there's two ways here. There's a way that is wrong, and it seems wrong, but there's a way that seems right, and it is wrong. They're going to end up in the same place. Hearing the Savior of the world say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. If that don't bother you, there's something wrong with you. The way of religion is not always the way of righteousness. I want to read a verse or two of Scripture from the book of Titus this morning. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 15 and 16. The Word of God said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, because even their mind and conscience is defiled. Watch this. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. You say, Pastor, are you going to preach a work salvation? Nope, never have, never will. But I've always preached and always will a salvation that works. Amen. If a person gets saved by the grace of God, you ain't going to have to beg them to do the right thing. You're not going to have to beg them to read their Bible. You're not going to have to beg them to pray. You're not going to have to beg them to be in the house of God. If a person ever gets a dose of old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation, there'll be a desire in that heart to do the right thing. Watch this now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yeah. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. There's a contrast being made in Psalm 1. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. The Spirit of God just showed me what it means. I've read it. I've quoted it for years. It's not talking about they won't stand in the congregation here. They're not going to stand in the congregation over there.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, you got Bible for that? Sure. The tares are sown among the wheat. Right here. Right now. But there's a separating day coming. The ungodly are not so, but are like the wind, the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And here's what I'm trying to get you to see this morning. I'll move on to the last thing in the message. Here's where we're at. The rapist, ungodly. The sodomite, ungodly. The thief, ungodly. And I'm going to tell you, standing right beside of that, Jesus said, "Depart from me. Have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Cast out demons, devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied?" Standing right there. You know what Jesus said? "Depart from me, ye workers of," what's the next word? "Just as ungodly." Two ways, but one destination. Let me close this morning with the last thing in the message. This is where we rejoice. There's three ways with only two destinations. There's a way that seems wrong, and it is wrong. There's a way that seems right, and it is wrong. But there's a way that seems right, and it is right. You say, "Pastor, if you could only give us one verse of Scripture to sum up that way, what would you give us?" Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." People, Brother David Jones, that are in this way, it's not so much about religion. It's a relationship. He walks with me. He talks with me. Not just on Sunday.
Amen.
People that are in this way, they have peace that passes all understanding. That's why my precious people can come to me and say, "Pastor," they said, "it's cancer, but it's all right."
Amen.
Hey, you don't get that from the world. You don't get that from religion. God puts a love in their heart for the church, for His people. I tell you, beloved, listen to me. Let's just say, and it is one thing to be providentially hindered from something. There's people sitting in this meeting this morning that would have loved to have been here every night in revival, but they can't drive at night. They can't see. I've met some people that can see, that drive like they can't see. But if I was laying flat on my back, Sister Donna, COVID or sick or whatever, I'd been watching my watch every day. Brother Junior, when it was time for the choir to sing, I'd been watching my... You say, "Pastor, you'd be laying at home in the bed and you'd be concerned about what's going on?" Yeah, because it's in my heart, Brother Michael. I'd be saying, oh God, help Brother Junior. Help Brother Ralph. Help that choir. Pour it on them, Lord. Then I'd just keep watching my watch. I'd say, well, Brother Steve's about done with the announcements now. And it's about time for the special. And then it's about time for Brother Don. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. You don't have to like what I'm going to say. It's the truth. There's people that can miss church and never think about church while they're missing church for no good reason. Never even think about it, let alone pray about it. I tell you this, if we're not providentially hindered, I'm not sure God's hearing our prayer anyway. Because the Bible said, moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. You say, Pastor, this is rough. You think this is rough. You wait till you stand before Him. This is a cakewalk. We need to get it in our hearts, honey. Listen, we're not going to answer to our pastor. We're not going to answer to our deacons. We're going to answer to the God of heaven. And a way, thank God, there's a way that seems right. And it is right. Because in that way, if you'll notice this, I never picked up on this before, Brother Mike. But those people Jesus was talking to, He said, depart from me. You know what they're bragging on? What they done for Him. You know what people, Brother Rick's bragging on that knows Him? What He's done for us. Two different stories saying it. Not look at what I've done for Him, but praise God, look at what He's done for me. Two different stories. And by the way, Brother David, other Brother David, when we get home to heaven, I've done read the book of Revelation. We ain't going to be singing about what we've done for Him. Brother John, we're going to be singing and shouting about what He's done for us. I'm trying to quit. I'm going to tell you this. My heart is broke. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that's leaning on a profession that never changed their life. According to my Bible, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I don't mean we're perfect. I tell you what it does mean, beloved. Listen to me. Let me lay this out here for you this morning. It means, beloved, listen. If you're in that way that seems right and it is right, when you do wrong, it's going to bother you.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
You say, why? Because, beloved, the way that is right puts the Holy Ghost down inside of you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. You can't grieve the Holy Ghost and not know it.
Right.
You look at something you ain't supposed to look at, you'll know it. You listen to something you ain't supposed to listen to, you'll know it. You say something you ain't supposed to say, you'll know it. You go somewhere you're not supposed to go, you'll know it. If you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, when God's people are meeting down there at His house, you're saved by the grace of God, you'll know it. There'll be something fingering around in that heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
This way, we talked about there are many in that first way, the way of the world with a seared conscience. That second way, there's many in that way of religion. They've got a soothed conscience.
Yeah.
But this way right here is the way of salvation. And when you get in this way, Brother Jason, you have a satisfied conscience. And you have a sensitive conscience. When the Holy Ghost, listen to me, before I was ever saved, I was sensitive to that thing of using God's name in vain. Got to be a teenager, upper teens, got to hearing it more and more. You say, Pastor, what happened? I tell you, I began to get hardened. It began to not bother me like it used to. First thing you know, I was on the job and drop a big piece of steel or something on my foot or a big ball of fire off of a welder or a carbon arc go down in my boot. First thing you know, the thing that I despise was coming out of my mouth, Brother Michael. See, the way of the world. We say, Pastor, did you go to church at that time? Yeah, I did once in a while. Soothed my conscience. Made me feel better about myself. Say amen. Then my first baby was born. I started going all the time because I saw a responsibility that I'd never seen before in my life. I got like Paul. I got like Nicodemus. I got real religious. But thank God at age 27, it's time to trade it in. I traded in my religion for a relationship. I traded in fooling men for a faithful God. There's a satisfied conscience. I laid down last night very burdened. I got up this morning burdened. I've been burdened for days. You say, Pastor, if nobody walks that aisle, your burden's in vain. I beg your pardon. Honey, when we put them taters in the ground in the spring, we didn't get taters out of the ground the next day. It took weeks and weeks and weeks. But my wife dug them the other day. You say, how in the world do you get so big? I'm trying to tell you. You won't listen. I can maintain my weight real good if I can give up sweets and bread and taters. Might as well die. Rick, you're laughing the hardest. I hate you, brother. Amen. Eat like a doggone horse and skinny as a rail. Amen. There's a way that seems right. You say, preacher, who knows which way I'm in? I tell you who knows, Brother Sam. You do, and he does. Oh, you say, Pastor, don't you know which way I'm in? Honey, I ain't trading with nobody. I love my daddy, and I wouldn't trade my daddy, and my daddy wouldn't trade with me. It's personal. You say, Pastor, Brother Larry, he's the treasurer, so was Judas. I was pastoring a church. Now, Brother Larry, I'm not saying I think you're Judas. If your middle name's Judas, I'm in trouble right now, amen. Larry Judas, that don't ring no bells, amen. Well, we wouldn't even name our dog Judas. Say amen. Pastoring in Wise County, and I'm done. Wednesday night, had a death in the church. We wasn't going to cancel the meeting. I was young back then. I didn't know what to do or how to do. That's the truth. I felt guilty for canceling the service at all over anything. I think Brother Jack was that way, wasn't he? Some of y'all told me it's no 10-foot deep. He'd say, dig you a tunnel, come on, amen. Well, maybe the saying he had was, if Walmart's open, we're open. I think that's what he said. Walmart's open, we're open. Wednesday night, we had a death in the church. We was going to meet at the church. We was going to read a passage of Scripture and have prayer, take up the offering, go to the funeral home. I was preaching the funeral. My treasurer always was one of the men that took up the offering. Another man would help him. Our church was much smaller than this, so it only took two men to take up the offering. Brother Ron, he wouldn't care if I called his name. If he heard this tape, he would rejoice. Brother Ron Balthus, finest man as you'll ever meet in your life. He'd come running down the aisle and say, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. I said, what is it, brother? He said, I'm lost. I need to be saved. You say, Pastor, did you know it? I had no earthly idea. And by the way, the night I saved, my pastor had no earthly idea either. No earthly idea. You say, Pastor, you trying to make people question? I'm going to tell you something right now. You can just mark this down. The Word of God uses the word examine. Examine yourself. A whole lot better to examine now than after it's too late. Brother Ron got saved. Boy, he's happy. He called on Monday. He's under conviction for a couple of weeks, and he called on Monday and said to Miss Eve, said, can I speak to the pastor? She said, he's out right now. I wasn't like that one pastor. He named his bass boat Visitation. He told his wife, he said, when they call, tell them I'm out on visitation. Another pastor liked to play golf. He said, tell him I'm out with the greens. Said, he's out right now. Can I have him call you back? Brother Ron said, no. He was already crawfishing a little bit, you see. The Wednesday night, Brother Mikey run as far as he could run. And he quit running the wrong way. And he run the right way.
Amen.
He run to Jesus. And Jesus saved him. Y'all are going to love this. I'm done. As soon as I say this, I'm done. How many times have I said that? I told my grandson a little while back, I said, Pap on fib. He said, fib, same as a lie. Mercy. A five-year-old. I'm going to tell you what got him under conviction. I really felt foolish after I told the story. I got a fellow in my church over there that he loved to go to Florida, Brother Jim, and bass fish. You guys go down fishing for, if you're from Tennessee, crappie. If you're from one of them northern states, crappie.
Yeah, I understand.
Bring me either one. I'll fry them. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Wayne caught, he had several over his mantle, 10-pound plus largemouth bass. Oh, he'd tell me the story about throwing a shiner out there about 6 or 7 inches long. He said, Brother Rick, he said, I let him swallow it. He said, I didn't want him to throw the hook. He said, I let him take it plumb down in there good before I set the... He's so excited about that story. Didn't mean nothing to me. I'd tell him about turkey hunting. He'd never been turkey hunting before in his life. About having a turkey 2 or 3 times the length of the barrel from the end of the 34 shot in its head, no shot in its wattles. That's close. He just sat there and listened. I said, you know why I couldn't get excited about his story? I wasn't there. I said, you know why he couldn't get excited about my story? He wasn't there. I'm speaking to people today that'll never be excited about salvation, about a Savior, because you wasn't there. You don't understand why somebody wants to shout, why somebody wants to sing, why somebody wants to praise God, why somebody would get in an altar Sunday after Sunday with a burden for lost people. You ever get there? You'll understand. There's 3 ways, 2 destinations. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Lord, get us a song. I said today I'll be done by 12 o'clock for sure. But I've given you my heart. Let me rephrase that. I've given you his heart.
Yes.
I'm confident of that this morning. I serve a God that does not want to say to anybody, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. God gave me this statement years ago. Any and all work that is performed in an effort to merit heaven is iniquity. I don't care what it is. When we're taking the work and think we deserve to go to heaven, we've bypassed Calvary. You bypass Calvary, you'll find an angry God. The Bible said He's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
Every day. Every day. If we're not careful, beloved, listen. We'll come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and not realize that our loved ones, just because their name's on the roll, just because they've made a profession, just because sometimes they look like they're doing the right thing, they may be standing right beside of the rapist, standing right beside of the murderer, standing right beside of that politician that swindled people. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a day coming. Jesus may come today. If you don't have peace in your heart, please trust Jesus. They got these bumper stickers now, say, try Jesus. That ain't the way it works. That's the way a lot of people think you do with a woman now. Just try her out. If you don't like her, go get you another one. The Bible said marriage is honorable and all. The bed's undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Are you saved? Are you happy about it? Are you burdened for the unsaved? Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the liberty to stand and share the burden, God, that you put in our heart. Lord, as heavy as this burden is, I can only imagine, Lord, what you're wanting to do. God, I pray that folks wouldn't run from you this morning, but they'd just run to you, not caring what anybody else thinks, but concerned about what you know and what deep down they know. Their life has never changed. They have no peace. They don't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart. Would you help us today?